Parenting and Parents
on 702.
Parenting and Parents time on 702 afternoons. And today we're talking about the process of in vitro fertilization. That what happens if after an embryo has been produced from between two parties, but they split up, what happens to that embryo? Who does it belong to? 011-883-0702 on the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. We welcome for this conversation South African attorney specializing in surrogacy and fertility law, Robin Friedman. Robin, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, really. Thank you for having me.
I have to ask, Robin, you know, as I've been thinking about this conversation in my head and wondering, you know, when you refer to something as the embryo, let's say, according to the law, because so often people speak about when life starts and when life ends. From a legal perspective, what is an embryo viewed as? Is it viewed as a product or is it viewed as a life?
Really, in South African law, legal personality and the full right to life only begins at birth. So this means that a child has to be fully separated from its mother and shows independence and signs of life before it can have full legal personality and rights in terms of our law and constitution in particular. So an embryo in this context is not yet considered an independent legal persona, and it's not considered to be a life yet, although it has the potential to become a life.
When it is referred to as the embryo, is it treated like it is a product or an item?
So embryos in our law, yes, well, it's actually difficult to qualify what an embryo is actually treated as. It's a specific type of reproductive material, which consists of the fertilization of an egg and a sperm. And in terms of South African law, I think the implication is that it is regarded as not as a commodity, but as reproductive material, which is capable of being owned. And why I say that is because the specific legislation which deals with ownership of gametes, which is sperm or eggs and embryos, is specifically set out in the regulations of the National Health Act. And there's a whole chapter on who owns embryos and when. So just to articulate that fact, once an embryo has been created, our law says that the recipient is the owner of that embryo. In other words, the person for which that embryo was required to be transferred into that person's or that woman's uterus.
Oh, wow. So just to clarify, you are saying it belongs to either let's say a couple went and did it together and it was intended to go into her, it belongs to her. However, if that embryo was intended to go into the womb of a surrogate, who does it belong to?
That's a brilliant question. So in that scenario, the recipient is the surrogate mother. So that creates all kinds of gaps in our law because the surrogate mother doesn't really have a particular interest in that embryo other than to try and assist the parents. So if the parents split up, say during the lifespan of the High Court order where a surrogate motherhood agreement has been confirmed by the High Court, and say the parties then separate and there's litigation over who owns the embryo, the law is very clear on that aspect, and that is that the surrogate mother will own that embryo. And by the same token, if parties split up where the intended mother was going to carry that embryo, our law states on the face of it that she is the legal owner of the embryo. But we must remember that the law is always qualified by agreements which are entered into between the parties and the respective fertility clinics who take custody and control over these embryos. So we need to look at those agreements that the parties have signed. So it's not always clear cut.
Indeed. And I think with what you're saying, we do need to take a break shortly. When we come back, I hope we can jump into what does a standard agreement look like, assuming the couple is married, because I know that might change dynamics, versus if a man and a woman say, look, we're just simply doing this because we want a child together, and let's assume that whatever their agreement in the getting along is no longer there, and now there is a dispute about who wants to take it, assuming both, let's assume in that scenario, both parties want the embryo. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702.
And parents on 702.
16 minutes after 2 o'clock, and we continue in our parenting and parents feature talking about an embryo after the IVF process has begun. Who does it belong to? 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. We're chatting to Robin Friedman, South African attorney specializing in surrogacy and fertility law. Now, Robin, as it stands, if a couple decided to go the IVF route, let's assume they are married, what does the standard agreement state? Because a divorce would not be something that is anticipated. Is that even considered in a standard agreement when it comes to the storage and the whole IVF process?
All right, it's very important that the fertility clinics become aware with these various scenarios that are happening. I mean, there are many ways to become parents these days. We have same-sex parenting, and then we have the whole dilemma of who owns the embryos in that situation where they would potentially be utilizing a surrogate mother. And I've recently dealt with quite a complex case where we had same-sex parents. And they had embryos which were fertilized with both of their sperm and cryopreserved or frozen separately. And then during the divorce, there was a whole dispute as to who these embryos belonged to. So as I noted earlier, in this scenario, these embryos would belong to the surrogate mother. But because the surrogate mother doesn't really have a real inherent right or interest in these embryos, albeit that the law states that they belong to her, it is possible for parties to contract out of this and to allocate X number of embryos to each party. So it becomes quite complex when you're dealing with surrogacy, because in that scenario, your surrogate mother is the legal owner of these embryos. And look, in my opinion, embryos can then be ceded back to the respective parents. And that was the way we resolved that whole divorce fallout, by allowing the surrogate mother to cede back the embryos to the respective parties. So you must remember that where you have a male and his sperm, or you have two males and their sperm and an egg donor, those respective men have personality rights in those particular embryos. So they should have some say as to what should happen with regards to the procreation and usage of their reproductive materials.
I know that there have been few cases in South Africa that have made headlines, like I think it was Sofia Vergara internationally, who after separating from the husband, there was some dispute about who gets the embryos because he wanted to keep them. Are there any major cases that you would say maybe South Africans should be aware that set some kind of precedence when it comes to the unique cases where it's not obvious? For example, maybe the couple was not married. For example, maybe the couple were not even a couple. They were just joining together for the purposes of procreation, but are no longer now aligned with what they're doing, but they are all going after custody of the embryo.
It becomes a big problem without an agreement in our law. You should, in every scenario where you are entering into a co-parenting agreement with a person to whom you are not married to, it's absolutely essential that you enter into a rights and responsibilities agreement with that person, which will then be contingent on the live birth of that child. And in the agreement, the ownership of the embryos has to be dealt with. In particular scenarios where there's an odd number of embryos, how will the embryos be allocated for use? Because both parties have personality rights in those embryos, which stem from the genetic origin of the egg and the sperm itself. So these cases are generally decided on a case-by-case basis in the high courts today. There's a lot more fighting going on with regards to the live births of children and custody rights after such reproductive agreements have been entered into than they are going on with regards to ownership of embryos. And there's some interesting cases. I'm busy with a case at the moment which will be heard hopefully in the next coming months on whether or not a surviving spouse may utilize embryos consisting of his deceased wife's eggs and his sperm. So we'll see what the judge decides in that case in the upcoming months.
I mean, in your view, like the one you just mentioned, I'm assuming that the parties that could interdict that, let's say, is the late wife's family members saying, please don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they could. And the way we look at it is, what were the late wife's intentions? Did she give her absolute explicit consent to the surviving spouse to utilize her eggs or the embryos on us after her death, or as we refer to it legally, posthumously? So it's always based on her clear and unequivocal intentions. It's very important for people who have embryos who are cryopreserved at fertility clinics to make their intentions very clear as to what should happen to those embryos upon their deaths. And not only should this be contained in the consent forms of their respective clinics, but also in their wills. And details must be sent to their executors as to how their embryos should be dealt with after their death so that there is no disputes.
There's a WhatsApp message here that says, Lebo, my understanding is that an embryo is a thing, not property in the traditional sense, but a specifically regulated thing regulated by the Human Tissues Act, I think, is what they were saying. Does an embryo fall under the Human Tissues Act?
Well, yes, it does. It is human tissue, and it does fall under parts of the Human Tissue Act. And this specifically relates to when we export embryos, for argument's sake, overseas for parties who have immigrated and wish to utilize an overseas clinic. And when we export reproductive tissue, there are required permits which have to be issued before anyone can transport any reproductive material.
So another question says, how do they determine the biological owner of embryos, knowing that technically it takes only one sperm to fertilize an egg? So an egg cannot be fertilized by two different men. I'm assuming that the question was based off of the scenario you gave of a same-sex couple that went and did embryos, multiple embryos using both their sperm. Maybe you can help us understand that in a case like that, does it become anonymous or it depends on what the couple asked for?
That's actually a good question. So what happens when the respective same-sex parents donate their sperm? Each vial of sperm is separately fertilized with the egg donor. And these embryos are then separately identified and separately frozen at the laboratory so that they are marked specifically with that male's identity number for identification purposes, so that the fertility doctor will know on the day that he or she is going to transfer these embryos into the uterus of the surrogate, whose embryos they will be utilizing. So it's always separately marked for identification purposes. And there's generally, I mean, these, you know, the sperm are handled separately. They don't mix sperm. That's not something that gets done. It's all individually marked and separately cryopreserved.
So in a case where a same-sex couple is saying, you know, use both embryos, one from each, and one takes, they can still find out later which embryo took, as in who's the biological parent, should the need arise.
Yes, absolutely. Once the baby's born, they can do DNA testing on the embryo. I mean, sorry, on the actual child, and they'll be able to determine who the genetic link is to that particular child. And just on that note is that something that's not commonly known is that our law prohibits the combining of two parents' embryos in one embryo transfer cycle. So in other words, prior to where a same-sex parents decide to have a child via a surrogate mother, they need to identify which embryo they're going to be using prior to embryo transfer. So they can't take one of each and then implant both of these embryos into the uterus of the surrogate in the expectation or hope that they're going to have twins, which will be genetically related to both of them.
I get you. So what happens then in the event that the transfer, let's say now a couple splits and the transfer of the embryo happens behind in one of their backs, however that could have happened. But that parent was not consenting to the embryo being used and they're not together anymore. Would they be liable for any kind of child responsibilities?
Sure, that's a very broad question.
And I know I'm making it as extreme as possible to sort of see which parts of the law would come in. If I, let's say, claim, but you didn't tell me you were using the embryo, you did it behind my back, so I shouldn't have any responsibilities to a child I didn't ask for at the time I consented to it being used on a surrogate, but not after the fact.
Yeah, so firstly, I mean, the one party would have a liability against the fertility clinic because they can't just willy-nilly go and use and transfer embryos unless they know the consents are in place. But it can actually happen in scenarios where the fertility clinics are not advised of the fact that the parties have separated or that there are divorce proceedings which have been instituted. And in a case like that, the father of the child could potentially just say, well, you know, you went ahead against my consent. You had this child, therefore I'm no longer liable for any responsibilities towards this child. But it's not a clear-cut case. There are many factors that would affect the outcome of that. For example, if he suddenly then decides to develop a relationship with that child and then start recognizing the fact that he is the child, then she would then potentially have a right to claim maintenance from him. Fertility clinics need to be very cautious and call both parties to make sure if both parties aren't present at the fertility clinic on the day of embryo transfer, to make sure that the consents are updated, that there are no divorce proceedings which have been instituted, or that there's, in the case of a couple, that they haven't terminated their relationship.
Has the clinic ever been taken to court for losing embryos or anything in relation to the conversation that we are having or not informing another party that embryos are going to be used or taken?
You know, really, I can't quote any specific case. My, you know, having been involved in the fertility industry for many years, I think my honest opinion is that these cases are generally settled within the clinic environment between the clinic and the patients directly. But I cannot quote any case that has happened. I've known of many clients have come to me in the past and present where clinics have made significant mistakes, lost eggs, in transit from one clinic to the next. There are many scenarios. Defrosted embryos where a woman has undergone, egg retrieval prior to chemotherapy and just either lost her eggs or all her eggs have died. You know, they lose their right to procreate after that. Incorrect embryos being transferred. I have heard a few buzzes around that, but no case law as far as I'm aware.
Thank you so much, Robin, for chatting to us about this in our Parenting and Parents feature. Yes, it can get very complicated. Key takeout for me is make sure that contract is airtight, no gaps, no holes, no nothing.